Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another broadcast of Real Life with Rich and Christ. I want to thank you for being here today. You're going to find that this show is like no other show in Christian media, in that I don't talk about what is the status quo on Christian broadcasting, which mostly has to do with what we can get from God or what we have to do to be able to get from God. I talk about the real grace of God, the grace of God that has appeared to all men, it says in Titus, instructing them to deny ungodliness and to live righteous in this age, and that has nothing to do with you trying to live a godly life. There's no such thing as Christian godliness apart from the one who lives in and through you and is the godly one. That any time you see the word godly in the Bible, know the only one that is able to live the Christian life is Christ himself. And so what I share is how people that are dealing with real life issues, how they go about doing that. What is it that the believer needs today in order to be able to thrive in a time of tribulation? Whether that tribulation has to do with a job or a loss of a job, or it has to do with some other financial difficulty, or it has to do with broken or strained relationships, what's going on in society, sickness, you know, whether it's a sickness you're dealing with or somebody close to you is dealing with. Everybody has some issue of life that they're dealing with today. And there are two ways to go about it as a believer. The first is to listen to what Paul calls the different gospel in two places, 2 Corinthians 11:3-4 and Galatians 1:6-8. And what that is the gospel that says you have to do something for God in order for God to do something for you. And that's not true. Because the only gospel is the gospel of true grace. And true grace is the power of God that enables us to live in Him right here and right now. There's the power of God called mercy that draws us to Christ, because no man can proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord unless he is drawn by the Spirit. You don't just wake up one day and decide that you're going to seek God. That is something that is birthed in you by the Spirit of God. You cannot seek God independent of God, because the heart and the mind that is set on the flesh is at enmity with God. It's against God. And so there's nothing of the natural man that is ever going to seek God. The only seeking agent is the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of God who is in and living in and through us right now. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, you are a container of God made to contain Him. Jesus talks about that in John 15. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you abide in me and I abide in you, he says, that's the only real Christian life there is knowing that you're living in me. And I can prove that, because all through the Gospels, whenever anybody asks Jesus to do something, or whenever Jesus refers to doing something, he always points to his Father. Jesus said that I can do nothing. The Son can do nothing except what he sees the Father doing. Well, what did he mean by that? He was speaking about the union relationship between him and his father that is outlined in John 17, verses 14 through 21 in his prayer, that they may be one even as you and I are one. Oneness is the only Christianity that exists. There is no independent, separate, punishing God. That God is the product of performance-based, organized, systemized religion, quote-unquote Christianity. And you can find that God in any church, quote-unquote, church in America or around the world. I wrote an article this last week, and I shared in there how I believe about 99.9% of the churches have it wrong. And in fact, I know people, and I've shared with them, and I am one of them, who never really started growing up in the grace of God until they left organized, systemized religion. And so this is a radical grace that we're talking about, by a radical God who wants to do a radical new thing in our lives every second of every day. This is not just about event Christianity. This is not about the next coming seminar from Joyce Myers or Joel Osteen, who are both, by the way, false prophets because they don't embrace the preaching of the cross, which is the only avenue to true maturity as a believer. It's not in the second coming. It's not in the coming rapture. The word rapture isn't even in the Bible. When it's talking about a twinkling of an eye, it's talking about revelation, not relocation. It's not talking about relocating your physical body to a place where you never, ever have to suffer again. Being changed in the twinkling of an eye is going from darkness to light. That's what being changed in the twinkling of an eye is. It has nothing to do with self-serving and self-preserving in this life. Otherwise, why would Jesus say when somebody asked him where he was going, he says, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The Son of Man laid his head in his Father every second of every day. In the same way that the Son of Man was sleeping in the boat in the middle of a great tempest, which is another word for hurricane-forced winds, and he had to be woke up by his fearful disciples who were afraid they were going to lose their life. That's who the Son of Man is. And he doesn't take one self-preserving thought for himself ever. If he ever did at any time, he would cease to be the Son of Man. He is the other lover. He is the one who is living in and through you right now, longing to live others through you. But what you're dealing with right now is what you're dealing with. And that is the trial of the day. And how do you deal with it? How is it that you make it through another 5 minutes with the pressure that's in your life? How is it that you make it through today? And that's the purpose of the trial, believe it or not. The purpose of the trial is to take you into the day. And once you're into the day and you see that the day is all there is and it's the only place where God exists, read Deuteronomy 8 if you want to find out more about that. You'll find out that there is another Jesus out there that is not the Jesus Christ who is able to change your life in that twinkling of an eye that I just talked about, taking you from darkness to light. And not having anything to do with your circumstances changing. This is where Habakkuk, the prophet, looked around and he saw nothing but barrenness and destruction and famine and pestilence. And he heard the Spirit of God say to him, And he repeated the words, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, and there's no fruit on the vine, though the yield of the olive fail, and there's no cattle in the stalls. Doesn't that sound like something that's going on today with a lot of people that are dealing with their everyday lives? But listen to what he goes on to say. I will exalt in the Lord, my God, because he has given me hinds feet to walk above my high places. What are your high places today? Paul talks about that in Philippians 3. The high calling. You have a high calling that is higher than your high place if you know the truth of who you are in Christ and you know that you're his property paid for in full with the blood of Jesus Christ, and there is nothing that can snatch you out of his hand at any time in any way, shape, or form. This is the real good news. This is the good news that has nothing to do with you going to church, paying your tithes, reading your Bible, being a quote-unquote Christian leader. All of the things that we have been lied to down through the hundreds, thousands of years, millions, dare I say, billions of Christians down through history, not knowing that they are a branch of God, not knowing that the same life of the vine is living in and through that branch. And look at the trees right now. Step outside and look at your trees. How many branches do you see suspended away from the trunk of the tree and still receiving their life from that tree? Just suspended in midair. No, they're attached to the tree. And that's how the branch receives its life. You're attached to Jesus Christ, not on the basis of anything you could ever do, not on the basis of anything you could ever say. It's of God that you're in Christ Jesus. It's the gift of God, lest any man boast. God placed you in Christ. God stirred up your heart one day to see that there was something bigger in life than you. And the believer that's been sitting in his pew for 20, 30, and 40 years and still living as the infant spoon-fed, milk-drinking baby Christian that he is, if you're listening to this today, which very few people are listening to because this is a ministry to the few, this is a ministry to the few there are who find it, wide is the path that leads to destruction, narrow is the path that leads to life, and few there are who find it. And the reason there's few that find it is because if you want to walk that same path, you're going to walk that same road, the Via Dolorosa. You're going to go to Golgotha. You're going to embrace the cross, and you're going to find out that life only comes out of death, and God only resurrects that which is dead. There is no new life unless God first rolls death in on what you're calling life. That's the good news, folks. And what's it going to cost you? Only one thing. Everything. It's going to cost you your stuff. It's going to cost you your selfish ambition. It's going to cost you your goals, your hopes, your dreams, your vision, your reputation, and your identity. If you want everything that God has for you in this life, if you want to live as the vessel, the branch, the temple, the lamp of God, where you contain him in his fullness, it's going to cost you. That's the message of the cross. It's Paul saying, I count all things as loss. How many things? All. What part of all is something else? It's going to cost you everything. And then you're going to find, as God begins to reveal himself, as the God who loves you exactly as you are and couldn't love you any more, you're going to find that it doesn't cost anything. This is where Paul says, the light momentary afflictions. You can look it up. I don't know where it is. I know it's in there. He says these light and momentary afflictions are nothing. Paul's light momentary afflictions, are you kidding me? This man was shipwrecked at least two times. He was beaten with rods. He was flogged. He was left for dead. He was hunted. Read his danger list. In danger from friends, family, false teachers, you name it, Paul was in danger of it. And yet he comes into this revelation of Jesus Christ as his life to the point where he calls everything that he has gone through in his life, probably over the course of 40 years or more, because there is no instant wham-bam Christianity. That also is a product of the false teachers, the liars out there who are only interested in one thing, and that is not Christ in them and as them. And Paul says these momentary light afflictions are producing something. Your momentary light affliction today, where you don't have any electricity in your house, or you lost your job, or you've got a sickness that you have no control over, or there's a broken or strained relationship that you want reconciled, and yet you can't, are not the reconciler, so all you can do is yield to the one who is the reconciler. Those are light and momentary afflictions in comparison to the weight of glory that God wants to reveal in and through us. But American Christianity wants nothing to do with this message that I'm sharing today. And in fact, if Jesus Christ walked into most churches today, and I don't care if it's a Pentecostal church, a Baptist church, a Presbyterian church, a neighborhood church, fellowship church, whatever church it is, if that church is still preaching performance in any way, shape, or form, if Jesus Christ was to walk into that church today, he would be shown the door. Because Jesus Christ is not about performance. Jesus Christ is about life. And life more abundant. And that abundant life is ours today. In him we live and move and have our being. There is no other life except for the life of Jesus Christ. None. I tried to find it. I tried to find it in alcohol. I tried to find it in drugs. I tried to find it in all kinds of different things. I tried to find it by climbing the corporate brass ring. I applied for somewhere between 300 and 400 jobs right here in this town where we're living right now. We just moved from Texas back to Visalia, California, because daughter is dealing with some issues of life and she needs help. And so God packed us up and moved us from Texas to California to help Heidi. And we're here. And a few years ago, 10 years ago, I was here wanting to be a pharmaceutical rep, just getting my master's degree, applying for somewhere between 300 and 400 jobs. I had somewhere around 80 interviews. I placed number one or two in most of those interviews. I learned how to interview like nobody knows how to interview. I had 7 jobs offered to me. I had 7 jobs rescinded. That means taken back. 7 is the number of completion. And if I was grown up, a little more grown up in the spirit, I probably wouldn't have had to go through all that. But God used that to open my eyes to the fact that he is my only provision. He is my only source. There is no other source apart from him, folks. There's nothing. I've lost everything several times. I've lost homes. I've lost jobs. I've lost opportunity after opportunity. I've been estranged from my children, who I love more than anything, and would lay my life down for them. And in fact, I just booked a flight to go see them for 3 weeks. This will be the first time in 10 years that I've been able to see my five kids together for 3 weeks at a time. This is my first Christmas I'll be able to spend with them together in 14 years. That's losing your life to gain his. That's understanding that there is no other life apart from the life of Jesus Christ. And one day I woke up in bed in a panic attack just after getting married to Linda in 2005. And I woke up in a panic attack and I woke up and I screamed, "My kids!" Because my ex-wife had just married a crack addict, alcoholic, womanizing. It wasn't a nice guy. And my three young daughters were living under the same roof as this guy. And I woke up screaming my kids out of a dead sleep. Sweat from head to toe. And the first thing the Spirit of God said to me was, "Whose kids? Look what I've done with you over the course of your life. You should be dead many times over. And yet you're here because of me. I have not only saved you by grace, but I've preserved you and kept you by that same grace. Even the times when you had wanted nothing to do with me," which was a 7-year period I went through where I told God, basically, to, "You can finish that sentence." And God gave me three words: release, rest, and receive, when I woke up in that panic attack. Release your children to me, Rich. Release them and know that I have my hand on every single one of them. And in the same way that I love you, I love them. Release your children to me and release everything to me." Release it. What does that mean? That means all you who are weary and heavy laden, just lay it down. Rest. Paul talks about the rest of God in Hebrews, from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 to Hebrews 4, 11. Read it. Read Matthew 10:28, the one that I just quoted. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. There is a rest for the people of God. It's not sleep. And it's not physical rest for your body per se, although it can lead to that. It's a rest from striving to try to be something other than who you are. And knowing that God loves you exactly as you are today. And he couldn't love you anymore. Rest in the fact, Rich, that I have your children. Rest in the fact that I am watching over them and I am writing their story just like I've written your story. And it's not a story about dead letter religion. It's a story of human suffering so that they can also be ministers who are out there to be the vessel, temple, branch of the one who is the one who reconciles all things to himself. And then the third thing he said to me was, "Now you're ready to receive. You release what you're holding on to. You rest in his love, which is not anything you can do except surrender. Take your hands right now, your clenched fist right now, because you're holding on to your life and you're calling your life your own. Take your clenched fists, put them straight out in front of you. What is it you can receive from God with you holding on to your life? What is it that you can receive? What is it you can give up? Now open up your hands." Just the simple act of opening your hands, that is releasing to God. That is presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That worship to the Spirit of God, when you open your hands up to Him and you release your life just as it is right now, knowing that you cannot do anything apart from Him. John 15:5. And receive. Receive just like Job received. Not receive what you call God. Receive what God calls God, which is everything. Job's wife said to him, curse God and die, after they'd lost everything. That's in Job chapter 2, I think it's verse 10 or 6, one of those. She looks around and she sees her life, and she does what everybody does at that point in time. She blames God. I've done it a million times if I've done it once. I've done it recently because of the pressure of this move from Texas. And if you haven't, you're an immature believer or you're a liar, one of the two, because you will. When God gets a hold of what's at the center of your life, what it is that your life revolves around, whether it be your own ambition, your ministry, your children, your wife, whatever it is that your life revolves around, and you let God just touch that, you will react. Because He has to show us what is really at the center of our life. And you receive. You receive every good and perfect gift, no matter how it appears. If that gift appears as an electric shutoff, you receive it as being from God for a greater purpose. If that gift is a broken down car, you receive it as coming from God. If that gift is years of unemployment or disability or 77 days flat on your back in the most excruciating pain that you've ever experienced, like I did in 2011, you receive it as a gift. That's mature Christianity. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's mature Christianity. There is no other mature Christianity. That is walking as in the ministry of reconciliation, which is the only real ministry there is. When you take everything and you slice it and dice it, the only ministry there is that God reconciles everything and everyone to Himself. No matter who it is, no matter what they've gone through or are going through right now, you receive it the way Job received it, because Job's response to his curse, when she said, curse God and die, was, you're speaking like a fool. Shouldn't we receive good and evil from God? There is no god of evil called Satan. He was stripped of all of his power, made a public spectacle, and the only power he has is the power of the lie to make you believe that he's powerful. And the lying false prophets out there use the devil to instill fear in you so that you open up your pocketbook and give to them, so that they can continue to live their self-serving lives. This is the real life, and this is real life with Rich in Christ. I'm giving away a free devotional. If you've private messaged me on Facebook, I'll send you a free copy. Father, in the name of Jesus, open the eyes, unstop the ears of those who are listening today. Bless them in Jesus' name. Until next week, God bless.